Who do you know who is very street smart or wise or savvy? Who's street smart? The street smart people know how to read what's going on in the street. They know what to say, what not to say at the right time. They know how to dress so as not to call attention to themselves and not to make themselves stand out, especially in a situation that is rather precarious. I ask the question here, when have you been up to speed with this life skill of being street smart? And then when have you, I want you to think about this, when have you been too naive for your own good? Too naive for your own good. I can think of a couple times. Let me just tell you a couple of my major faux pas. One was that when I was in downtown L.A. in the garment district. And I've had people say to me, you actually shop in the garment district? And I love it. And I know a few of you in this place actually love it as well. It's kind of fun to go down there in the hunt for a good deal. On this one occasion, I had to go out and plug the meter again. And I was standing plugging the meter, and I heard a woman scream out, "He's got my purse! He's got my purse!" And I see this person running down the sidewalk toward me. And I said, this is 10 years ago. I was a lot stronger and faster. I said, "Stop!" And the person dodged out onto the street and began running in the street alongside the cars, and I ran out in front of him. I said, "Stop!" And he ran by me, and I ran after him. I had my hand out about ready to grab him, and I said, "Drop it!" And he dropped it, the purse. I stood by the purse and just waited for this woman to come pick it up. And later I thought, at least I was smart enough, or by accident, I may be too weak to bend over and pick it up, to hand it to her, because had I done that, the people who had heard her scream might have jumped me. That was one time when I don't think I was too street smart. I wanted to be a hero, I suppose, basic impulse. Second time, I know I wasn't street smart. I was not reading the scene. I don't know if, I'm asking you, see, as I'm doing this, I want you to think when you were not so street smart. We were in downtown São Paulo in Brazil. We were there with the Hardemans and the Mosquitas. We'd just been up on the top of one of the tallest skyscrapers in São Paulo. And we were taking pictures. I had my video camera, just a small little handheld video camera. And I'm taking pictures all around at these skyscrapers and all of us up at the top there. And it was just a grand time. We had a little bit of coffee at a restaurant up on top. And then we went downstairs on the street. I said, "You know, I think I'm running out of, I need another couple of little cassettes." And they said, well, they were going to go off and do something. I said, "I'm just going to walk and go get a cassette." And I walked down the street, holding my hand down, just walking, and with that video camera in my hand. And just about, I was wondering, why is it all these people are looking at me like, I mean, just ordinary people looking at me like, "What are you doing? What are you doing carrying this thing? You really, really stand out. You look like a tourist, idiot." They didn't say that. They were probably, maybe they said that to each other in Portuguese. And so I got what I needed, and I turned around. I started walking back to the van that we had rented with a driver. And all of a sudden, I had like six or eight teenage boys on the street there lunge at me when they saw my video camera. It was only after I got back, and by the way, our driver, as soon as these kids, you know, I pulled it back and they went around me, the driver says, "Come here, buddy, put that in the car, get that out of your hand." I was not very street smart. Maybe had I seen the movie, The City of God, all in Portuguese with English subtitles, that was out that year, about all of the crime that takes place among children ages 10 through 14 in São Paulo and in Rio, I might not have been so foolish. But when have you been? I was too naive for my own good, folks. Really too naive. I was just believing that everybody maybe in Sao Paulo was a tourist that day. When are you most likely to recognize your need for wisdom? We're beginning a series today that challenges us all to be street smart. And the text that we're going to look at today is a call from wisdom. It's as if wisdom were speaking to us. And this is a summer series on Proverbs. And Proverbs is going to be our guide, a survival guide for our lives. A survival guide for all of those who here in this place who call themselves followers of Jesus. A call to be alert to what God says is wise and a wise way to frame things against the demands of our culture, a changing culture that keeps saying to us, keeps throwing us one curveball after another to get us off of our game and get us to believe and respond in a way that is not wise. It's not for our own good. It's not for our family's good. It's not for the good of our friends, the people who are walking down that path with us. If we're not wise, if we're not street smart, we put the people in our congregation, the people that are looking to us for some answers. I know some of you have had friends in this past week, friends or family members, that have asked you questions like, what do you think I should do about this? To be street smart is to really grasp wisdom from God's perspective. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Mark read a few verses from Proverbs chapter 2, and that'll be part of this message as we just conclude the message. But Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 1, if you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, it's page 625. I'm reading from the New International Version, and I'd like you to follow along as I read. This is verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public square. At the head of the noisy streets, she, wisdom, cries out loud, cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. And she says, how long, O simple ones, will you love your simple ways? How long will you mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Wisdom calling out in the street. In verses 20 and 21, wisdom has a, wisdom is personified right here. In other words, wisdom takes on personhood. It's like wisdom is speaking to us, and wisdom will speak to us repeatedly throughout this book. This wisdom since it's a virtue, I love this, men. Since wisdom is a virtue, it takes the feminine voice. Just like peace takes the feminine voice in Scripture. It's like it's almost saying, this is too high for you men to understand, for you men to grasp. But wisdom takes the feminine voice and says, now listen to me. You need to listen. My son, I'm gonna tell you how to get along in life. Just my little side comment, a personal comment. I'm so glad to be teamed up with a wife who knows and loves the Lord. And we are very different in the way we approach stress. We're different in the way we approach a lot of different priorities. We're different in our timing throughout the day. One's a morning person, one's an evening person. We're different in so many ways. But in terms of raising a family through childhood and then adult years, and raising and being involved in the raising process of grandchildren, we speak together wisdom. And I'm so thankful that my wife captures the attention of her adult children as well into these years and helping them understand this. Have you thought about this? And I'm praying for you regarding your decisions. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, "My son, I'm going to tell you how to get along in life." You have to play heads up. You have to play heads up. Use common sense. Take your clues from the one who made you and gave you the ability to think. Take your clues from him and organize your life around him. Would you write that? If you've got a pen in your hands, I know there's some pens in the pew. I really would like it if you'd write this expression down. It is one that has captured my attention over the last couple of years. It's just one little line. Wisdom urges us to organize our lives around the Lord God. And I'll ask you the question, do you organize, or to what extent do you organize your life around him, his values, his priorities, his response? Organize your life around him. Just those words. I want you to think about that. Wisdom is intensely practical. As we look at these verses 20 and 21, it's intensely practical. It says, wisdom calls aloud in the street. What's the purpose for this? And we're talking about being street smart. You don't want to miss this connection. Being street smart. This is common sense. But wisdom is calling out, and it's saying, this is for everyone out there. It's out in the street, out in the public square, out in these places where everybody is milling. It's not calling out simply for the bright. It's not calling out simply for the intellectuals. It's not calling out for those who have 16 degrees behind their name. It's calling out in the street to everyone, young to very old. Young to very old. It's calling out to everyone. It's calling out to all races. It's calling out to all ages. It's calling out to all cultures. This is so great. The Word of God calls out to, this wisdom calls out to all cultures. Talking about an amazing thing. No matter what your cultural background is, your heritage, this wisdom is available for you. And it calls out to all times and all seasons. When wisdom calls, she has something to say to everyone. This summer, we're going to be talking about things like what does wisdom have to say to how you handle your mouth? It has something to say about how we handle our friendships. It has something to say about how we handle disappointments and things that get under our skin and just irritate the living daylights out of us. It has something to say about how we spend our money, how we handle our debt. I just heard a little expose today on television how probably in 30 years we will not be dealing with cash at all anymore. No cash. If the Lord tarries, the prediction is that just hardly anybody will be dealing with that filthy cash. And by the way, they ended their little expose by saying that flu virus lasts on paper money for 3 days. So because of that, I don't want you to get sick. You can give it all to me. So, okay. that filthy, filthy lucre. I'm just looking out for you, okay? Just looking out for you. Pastor Dennis is going to talk about, he's going to do a 3-week series on wisdom as it relates to money. He's going to be talking about debt. He's going to be talking about spending and saving and giving. Pastor Israel is going to do a 3-week series at the end of the summer, at the end of August. He's going to do that on what Proverbs has to say about marriage. And both of these guys, I've said to both of them, there's so much about both of these subjects, they're going to have to really stay focused as to what they're talking about. But wisdom has a lot to say about how we look at marriage, how we handle marriage, and how we act inside of a marriage. Wisdom has a lot to say about what we do with our ears, how do we listen. It has a lot to do, it has a lot to say about how we handle sexual purity, how we handle our sexual impulses. And, you know, we're sexual beings, and wisdom has a whole lot to say. God has a lot to say in terms of wisdom to all of us in this regard. Just so many subjects. So wisdom calls aloud in the street, and wisdom is available to everyone. And it, and then verse 22, this is what wisdom says. This is part of the cry out to the street, to everyone out there on the street. Now this everyone, listen to what wisdom has to say. It's going to have this to say to everyone on the street in the public square. That's you and me. It was the people in Solomon's day when he wrote this, and sometimes Solomon was very wise, and sometimes Solomon violated just about every one of the principles that he penned. And he wasn't so wise when he did that. He wasn't practicing what he preached. How long, verse 22, how long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? How long, oh simple ones, you simple ones? The word for simple ones, some of your Bibles might actually say you naive ones. Any of your Bibles say that? Any of your Bibles have the word naive? You like the word naive? You know what the word naive means? Naive people are people who believe everything. Basically, it's like this. Simple ones, naive ones. Another word for it is open ones. When we are naive, when we're simple, we don't have the proper filters. It's like something's not, it's just not working right. It's not settling in. I don't know how to handle the stuff that's being thrown at me. Naive ones. Naive. We think of the naive as being just the young, right? Maybe we reserve it for the other person when we're in the midst of an argument. Oh, you're so naive. This is a really serious issue, especially when it comes to young ones, but it affects us all. This last week, I read an article on the at the Colson from the Colson Center. Someone got me involved in this is the center that was started by the late Chuck Colson, whose life was radically changed by the Lord back when he was in a whole lot of trouble and when he was on his way to prison, and it would result in a ministry to tens of millions of people in our country and around the world. The article had to do with the redefining of marriage. The redefining of marriage. I want you all to listen very carefully to this. While this is not a political announcement, this is a serious, serious issue. When people talk about marriage and they redefine what marriage is, and our culture is in the midst of redefining it. And let me say to everyone in this room, you need to understand how serious this is. For those who are 30 years old and under, Americans who are 30 years old and under in our country, parents, do you have a child that is 30 years old or younger? Okay? For those who are 30 years old or younger, 90% of Americans believe that gay marriage is okay. 90% of Americans believe that gay marriage is all right. Like, why bother? Why push your point? Get off it. I mean, a person can do whatever they want. And along comes our president as part of redefining the argument. The president of the United States redefines the argument. And he makes the statement that I believe that that gay marriage is acceptable. And this is why I believe it, based on civil rights and all that we've gained from the civil rights movement. We can't take someone's civil right away from them. And I believe in it from a biblical perspective as a Christian. What? Well, he says, all you have to do is look at what the Bible has to say. From the words of Jesus, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And would you want anybody to deny you marriage to the person that you love and that you want to marry? Now, folks, this is a serious issue. It's a very, very serious issue. If you're street smart, when you're out there on the street, our culture is throwing at us, and you know, you sit back and you wonder, well, who am I to take anybody else's civil rights away from them? Who am I to act like I'm Mr. Somebody and I can do things that benefit me, but my friend, my neighbor, my coworker, my child, if they want to do this, I want to do to them what I want them to do for me. Come on. It's redefining the argument. And I love what was on this website. These words, it's a response from the Coalition of African American Pastors. Now listen to this very carefully. This is from the Coalition of African American Pastors. This is what they said. To link homosexuality to the righteous cause of Martin Luther King Jr., to link homosexuality to the righteous cause of Martin Luther King Jr., to the cause that he gave his life for, is abominable. It's abominable. This is what the African American pastor said. That is wrong, to link this to a civil right. And then they said this: there is no civil right to do what God calls wrong. You believe it? There's no civil right to call what God calls wrong. Now, our country may legalize perfectly as a nation, and as states may legalize it. And we may have to recognize that as a legal union. But we cannot allow ourselves to call it right. It is not right. And folks, listen to what the odds are. The odds are, if 90% of Americans who are 30 years old and under believe it's right, it's okay, it's fine, then the likelihood is that your 30-year-old and under believes it as well. That's a huge, huge possibility and a huge risk. If we're going to be street smart, we've got to ask God for wisdom to cause us to keep seeing life the way he sees it. How long, O simple ones, will you continue to operate and love your simplicity? You open ones who are so open to everything else, and you just let it all in the under the door. You've got to think. And you've got to think God's thoughts. And you've got to organize your life around what Jesus has to say. And by the way, if you want to organize your life around what Jesus has to say about marriage and what he thinks about marriage, go to Matthew chapter 19 and see what Jesus says about marriage. He's talking there about marriage and divorce, but he takes it very, very seriously. And what we think matters. And if we're going to be street smart with all the stuff that flies at us on the news and in every political commentary, it flies at us 100 miles an hour. Pay attention. The second part of the middle part of this verse is, how long will you mockers delight in your mockery? How long will you continue to just say, you're just such a fuddy-duddy. You're just such a prude when it comes to these things that we've become so much more sophisticated about. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, the psalmist talks about blessed are those who don't walk along with those who are walking in sin, and stand with them and sit with scoffers or mockers, who are mocking what God's word has to say, as if this is the old stuff. This is the old standard. No, this one fits across every single culture, every single age group. And if someone's a defiant free thinker, how long will you keep that up? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To understand who He is and that He is. Remember what we talked about last week? The fear of the Lord is an awareness that the Almighty God is here. He is here. The one who wired your mind and my mind together, the one who says this is the way it is, He's the one who has the right to say whatever He wants to say. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I don't care how many degrees or whatever your pedigree is, or what your social standing is, or what your financial standing is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You need to hang what you know on knowing that He's here, who He is. And for your knees and my knees to knock in His presence, and not to treat Him like, God's my buddy too. The man in, the big guy up in the sky. Don't use that expression around me, please. The big guy in the sky, that does not come from someone who fears God. It does not come from someone who fears God. Remember what God said to Moses when He met him at the burning bush? Get your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. When we're in His presence, when we speak His name, we're on holy ground. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowing what's what for every single one of us. But it says, but fools despise wisdom and knowledge. Oh, yeah, God too. Whatever you want to think of Him. Foolishness, as wisdom describes it in verses 23 to 33, foolishness is disastrous. If you had responded, let's look at verse 23. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you. This is what wisdom is saying. If you would have listened when I said, you're not paying attention. You're naive. You're foolish. You're mocking. You're simple. If you had listened to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and have gave no heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock your calamity. Or when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Do you remember the pictures of the tsunami hitting Japan? Remember? Do you remember where you were when you first saw them? I remember when the first picture I saw of them. I was standing with our eighth graders on Manhattan Island in Times Square, and across the huge screens, people stood amidst all that chaos and materialism. They stood fixated, looking at a screen, watching these waves just flood over those huge embankments and carrying boats and buses and trucks and cars in their wake. That's calamity. And you know what God says? He said, if you don't listen, young people, middle-aged, and the oldest person here, if you don't listen to my wisdom, if you're just going to wing it, then I'm going to laugh at your calamity. I'm going to laugh when it overtakes you like a storm, like that horrible picture when people just were like, because that's what's going to happen to your life. And that's what's going to happen to your kids. That's what's going to happen to your parents. That's what's going to happen to your friends. And that's what's going to happen to you and me when we ignore God's wisdom. We've all ignored it. And God will say every time, you want it that way? I'll let you have it that way. But it will spell disaster for you. What a difference this is when you compare it to James chapter 1. And I would just, you remember the words in James chapter 1 when James says to people, you know, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various kinds of temptations, knowing that, and troubles, various trials, knowing that these trials God can use to produce something wonderful in your life. But when you're in the midst of those trials, ask for wisdom from God. Now you're in the midst of a trial, and maybe you're in the midst of that trial and you're blowing it. And you're relying on your own wisdom and not including God in this process. And God would say, I'll laugh at you if you don't seek me. But if you'll seek me, I'm not going to laugh. Whoever asks, he says, I'll give you wisdom in spades. I'll give it to you liberally, and I will not laugh, saying, well, it's about time. I'm not going to mock you over that. But if you don't pay attention, and you decide to wing it, and you pick up all these values that are so hideous, when calamity overtakes you like a tsunami, I'm going to laugh. You're getting what you deserve. In verses 28 through 33, I love this picture. It's like, now wisdom stops talking, okay? It per se, the personification of wisdom. It says, then they will call out to me. Well, wisdom is not talking to these people who've been unwise, is what I'm saying. Now wisdom turns to a bunch of righteous people and says, then they will call out to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. By the way, the word complacency is elsewhere translated peace. And it's like this, I've thought about this business, go back to the issue I was talking about earlier. I've thought about this issue of marriage and, you know, whether you can be married, gay marriage, whether that was just as legitimate. That's all fine. And that all fits okay in our culture. And, you know, I've thought about that. Complacency is, yeah, I've thought about it. I'm at peace with it. I've made my peace with that. Like our president said, I've made my peace with this. That complacency will kill you. You've made your peace with something that is wrong. I've heard people say, when the scripture says, don't answer a fool according to his folly. And when you say, well, I've just kind of, this is how I handle my anger. This is how I handle my bitterness. I'm okay with that. I've kind of decided I'm just not a forgiving person. And I'm okay with that now. Complacency will kill you. And I love this, that what's going on in this. This is just like, I said that wisdom is not talking to It's not talking to the people that are goofing up. It's like wisdom has now turned her attention to this other group of people over here now and saying, you see what these people are doing over here? I'm kind of reminded of Coach Johnson. You might see something like this. Coach Johnson coached our boys at Biola in basketball. And Coach Johnson was just an amazing coach when he was coaching junior college basketball. And probably the winningest coach in Southern California City College basketball. He was just amazing. He was the expert of the, he was an expert when it came to the inside game, the guys who were playing inside the paint. And he was just a guy with tremendous wisdom, but he wasn't the head coach. He had been the head coach, but now at Biola, he was no longer the head coach. And every once in a while, Don Johnson would just kind of get up, you know, he's kind of an older guy that was an All-American under John Wooden, and he'd just kind of, when he finally got up, he'd have his clipboard and he'd walk up and down the seats and he'd talk to all the guys who were not out on the court. He didn't have a hearing with them because he wasn't the head coach. The head coach loved him, but he wasn't the head coach. So now he's exhorting all these guys. You see what these guys are doing out there? You see who they're not covering? And that's what wisdom is doing. You see? They don't get it. They need to get it from God's mouth. They need to get wisdom. The rejection of wisdom, verses 29. Listen to this. Since they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. By not choosing knowledge, by not choosing the fear of the Lord, they are actually rejecting Yahweh, the one who is and the one who always will be. In verses 1 to 5 of chapter 2, you have to really want wisdom. You have to want it with all your being. So I'd ask you the question, as you read these words from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1, actually 1 through 8, I'd ask you the question, do you really want wisdom? Do you really want it for your marriage? Do you really want wisdom for your job? Do you really want wisdom for the way you handle your money? Do you really want wisdom for how you handle your emotions? Do you really want wisdom from God's perspective as to how you handle your mouth? Do you really want it as to how you relate to your children, whether they are young children or very old and already they're doing real well in life in many respects, or maybe they're doing very poorly? Do you really want to share wisdom with them? Do you want it with all your heart? My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands with you. This could be Solomon speaking. This could be wisdom speaking as well. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. And if you will call out for insight and cry out for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find wisdom and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright, and is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards, the Lord, Yahweh, guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones. I read these words from Jerry Bridges in the book, The Joy of Fearing God. The person who knows and fears God possesses something more valuable than all the combined wisdom and knowledge of philosophy and science put together. Do you believe that? Listen. The person who knows and fears God possesses something more valuable than all the degrees and all the combined knowledge of philosophy and science put together. May He find us to be wise. Father, I thank You for Your word. And I pray, Lord, that we would be streetwise. I know that things are going to keep flying at us left and right. I pray that we would be street smart, that we would listen to this wisdom that is shouting out to us from the street, to everyone, that's available to everyone on all cultures. I pray, Lord, that we would pay attention to the wisdom that comes from You. And I pray that it would make a huge, amazing difference in our lives. And that we'd see that we possess something that is more valuable than all the degrees and all the knowledge of philosophy and science put together as we listen to Your wisdom. Change us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.